Call to order.
Do the first one.
I'd like a motion to approve the agenda as distributed.
So moved. Second.
Motion to approve the agenda as submitted, seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next item, approval of minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve meeting minutes.
Second.
Seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Next item, declaration of any letters, opinions, or other guidance from outside advisory committee. Anybody have anything? It's been a couple months since we've met, so. Jim, quiet? Everything quiet on that front? Good. Let's see. Wings and Wheels?
Yes, Gus.
Would you like to take the floor?
Well, since Larry's not here. despite the weather, I think we had a pretty successful event. Of course, attendance was down, but I think everything that we put in place prior to the event worked very, very well. Thanks to everybody that helped out. Rick and I ran around like crazy most of the day. but our wrap-up meeting was very productive. Not a whole lot of negative things that were said. We have some stuff that we need to build on for next year. But all in all, we have a lot of positive feedback from the people that did come out to it. People loved the transportation that we had. They loved the people movers more so than the buses because they were easier to load and unload. Was not a good representation of our actual event since we were down by about half, but still everything worked well. The loop that Todd created for us worked so efficiently, and it just got people in and out very quickly. Mm-hmm. The road closures were a tremendous help as well. It kept a lot of the traffic down from those roads. And some of the, we have to tweak a little bit more, how to bring in the car show people. It worked, the signage all worked very well for them, but we might get a little bit better, straighter shot for next year. But all in all, it was a great event. We all worked really well together. Rick and I have some assignments that we have to do starting the first part of the year. But I think with what we do, we'll just make it better because we're going to bring everybody together from a volunteer standpoint and other things that we know. Because we do rely so heavily on each other that we'll work it all out together. But all in all, very successful. Todd, you were there most of the day. How do you think?
I missed the debrief, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
I think it went very well as far as the interaction with the public and the flow and the exposure to the airport, which is the county's focus. This is probably too much for this committee, but the people movers that were so successful, and Gus gets all the credit for that, at his own expense, went up to Harrington, picked him up, brought him down. His drivers drove. Mm-hmm. Great combination of having donated vehicles pull them. I thought they could drive faster, but I don't want to.
They were in brand new trucks. Enjoying that.
When I gave him the keys to the truck, he goes, "Linda, these are like $70,000 vehicles."
I wanted to drive.
I won't make that a suggestion. But I think those people movers are being sold by the state fair. And,
but the Indian one should still be available,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, they'll still be available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we need to work that out outside of this committee, but that's something to think about.
Yeah. The Aviation Education Day also went really, really well. We had 109 students. We had 13 vendors. The kids, the speakers that we had, the kids really listened to. It was great interaction. We actually had a kid, it turned out to be John Kenny's, for those of you that know John, his grandson had been looking for an aviation program, and he'd been going through and visiting a lot of different sites and things, and was so impressed with what Del Tech put out there that he has enrolled. He's going through testing now, and he hopes to be into their program in January. So we had a success story that came out of that. But kids were engaged, vendors were engaged. We have a lot of feedback from vendors that are coming back next year, and some that want to see us have 200 kids for next year. So it was a great success as well for our first time.
Good.
What's going to happen with Sussex Academy and their new ball fields?
Don't make me crazy, Jim.
there'll still be room to park because they're going to be out in the field area. They're doing three fields,
okay.
So it shouldn't impede for next
year. For the first year, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if worse comes to worse, we always have our fallback, which is the Little League field, which we've engaged every year, just in case we need that overflow. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had to engage it yet. So, you know, there's so much parking over at Sterling Square that.
Isn't the academy expanding their physical buildings as well?
No, they're just doing athletic fields. Two soccer and a softball field.
I thought they were adding a pool too.
Well, there was a lot of.
Are they?
Yeah.
We didn't bid on the pool. That's somebody else. I bid on the field.
They're adding on physical space as well.
Never mind,
but
it'll be fine.
You just love to just make me crazy, Jim. You know that.
We're on the wings and wheels, Larry. Do you have anything to add?
I gave a good report.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad it's over.
We're starting on next year.
As much time as Larry and I spent on, well, Rick was there, and oh God, it was crazy on Saturday and Saturday night and Sunday and.
Friday night.
I come out every Sunday. I have to bring the airport back to the way I get it, so I have to come back out on Sunday and make sure of that.
Well, you know, we start Saturday morning. We got to turn it, you know, from an airport. On Saturday morning, we got to turn it from an airport into an event location, and then before we leave, we got actually before dark,
mm-hmm.
turn it back into an airport. One thing we've always had a fear of is, you know, pilots familiar with the airport, but not familiar that it may be barricades up, you know, after dark. Taxi lights on a lot of airplanes are not, you know, not like they are on your headlights. That, you know, when it gets dark, we don't want any barricades up anywhere that airplanes are going to be moving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's always been our primary goal when we start setting up on both Friday evening, Saturday morning, and Saturday evening is that everything be back to normal operations for any transient airplanes before it's dark again.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't say that our show on Friday night was hugely successful. Everybody had a great week for their way. It was just, the band was great. I mean, Abbott and Costello, just everybody had a great time. You know, the Naval Academy kids, they did a little bit different this year, and they're supervisors had them sitting at, like, one kid sitting at different tables. They didn't want them all sitting together. So it was great interaction for the kids, a great interaction for the people that whose tables they sat at. So all in all, I mean, the whole weekend just turned out to be really, really a great event.
Yeah, it just unfortunately we had the weather on Saturday morning, which and prevented a lot of the aircraft that were coming
mm-hmm.
from making it over.
But
the thing about Friday night was, yeah, it was a huge success, but it's financially unsupportable. So, you know, at the, you know, it was the thing I was saying all along, if we want to have quality entertainment, quality food, like someone even came, it was somebody here, it was, I can't remember who it was, that came up to me that evening and said they couldn't believe what great value they got for, what was it, $45 or something?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, I just... I was at an event at American Veterans Center last Saturday night in Washington, D.C. And, I mean, it was a $250 plate dinner, and the entertainment wasn't as good as what we had.
I told him, though. He wanted me to, like, really bump it up from $30. I said, Larry, I'm doing baby steps.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we can't...
We know.
You know what the budget costs to
yeah.
put that on.
Yeah,
and, if that's the kind of an event we want on Friday night, which is, you know, we don't want to have some mediocre event. We want it to be a quality event because it reflects on everything that we do out here.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do it for $45 a ticket.
No.
Okay. I think it was you that came up to me. That's right, it was. You're sitting there nodding. That's what I remember it was. What, did I solicit that comment?
Yes, you did.
No.
I
did not.
No, I pulled you over to my table to get a photo of you with
yeah.
the table, and yes, we made that comment to you.
Yeah, and it was completely unsolicited, but I was thinking back to the conversations that we had had with the chamber about that very thing, and I
yeah.
could, you know, saying if we want world-class entertainment, which we can, we'll have to relook at all of it next year. But we're never going to get there if we don't do a good quality event.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to sell tickets at whatever kind of market value you're going to need to if people's memory is of a junky event like we'd had the previous year.
Right.
So, you know, now people know that we can do quality event.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we start talking about what we're going to need to do to make it financially viable, people understand what they're getting.
Right.
And even at that, that was a huge amount of volunteer work went into. You know, Matt Sager spent most of the day converting his car trailer into a basically a dressing room for the band to use.
That was incredible.
Yeah. And the little stage we built for the postage stamp, as they called it,
yeah.
You know, so that we could divert people's attention to the rear of the room while the band changed.
But even the panels
yeah.
that you did, we worked so hard on those panels to really display all of the pictures and all that. That was a lot of work on you and your guys, too.
Well, it's all part of making that a quality event for Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we also have to thank Skip Jones for, obviously, the hangar.
Hugely, yes.
Where you can't get 350 sit-down dinners
well,
in a place without having a hangar like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has supported Wings and Wheels as long as I've been here and probably
ever
before.
Ever since
right,
we've
so.
Started the show. Ever since we started to do the show,
yeah.
He's been supportive, and you know, that's where Rick's plane is now. So he was a big help for us too.
And Saturday night, we were not going to leave that hangar in any condition other than the way we received it, and that was with everything out of it, everything clean, so he could put his airplanes back in there.
Right.
And that
was
where
people kind of
left us, and I
think
Lou went to Larry, and
it
was there,
and
Matt, and
webcast midnight if I had to do it myself, and I don't even know how I would have done it myself.
But
I would only add to Linda's comments and Mary's comments that closing.
Anything else for Wings and Wheels?
What did it cost us for those two men to speak to the guys for Lou and Costello?
$2,000. Mm-hmm.
They come out of up in the Baltimore area.
I know who you're telling me.
I had met them because they do a routine on the John Brown. For the three or four voyages that the John, are you familiar with the John Brown? It's a World War II Liberty ship that's based in Baltimore. They're still fully operational. They do tours down the bay about four times a year, three or four times a year. And Brooks actually does, well, he used to hit on the John Brown. He used to do a smaller, almost like a six-man combo thing on the boat. And then the Abbott Costello guys, they perform all over the place, but also they're up every year at Mid-Atlantic Air Museum in Reading, Pennsylvania, first weekend in June. So I've known them for years. I've actually hired them to do events for our company.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have large company events. We'll hire them to come and do either a full routine or an abbreviated routine.
Mm-hmm. We've actually had actually, we actually have feedback from people asking us if they would come on Saturday as well.
Yeah, if we put them up in a hotel, and, yeah.
We just have to figure out if we do that,
how can we continue to do it as a free event and meet all the expenses we need to do is the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kroll, I was in charge of the logistics at the school.
Mm-hmm.
I personally want to thank you for what you did.
You're welcome.
Your drivers were courteous. They were on top of the stuff, and Dave Wilson for donating his trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And for all that happened after, and Mr. Dutton and the buses.
Yep.
ASI and their handicap. It just was huge, and we thank you very much for what you did.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I have no idea what this man did.
Well, I'm sure I do.
He did a lot.
Thank you.
Well, we got a lot of people that's got a lot of community pride, and how that comes together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
sure.
of those kind of things is what all comes together to make a community event like this happen.
There's a huge amount of support this year from the county, from the town. You know, Gus, you and your guys, and I mean everybody. It just, you know. It's amazing to me. I mean, there's a lot more work that was involved this year, a lot more of my time than I've ever had to do. You know, when you have a lot of people, and Todd knows, I mean, from even the beginning of the conversations that he and I started having, you know, because we knew logistics was our biggest nightmare that we had, and, you know, just starting to talk to him and him knowing, and, I mean, I could just literally feel, like, the weight lifting off my shoulders as we started these conversations, because we knew, you know, things were going to happen and things were going to work out. And, you know, just everybody that we talked, I mean, Gus, from being at one of the first airport advisory meetings, and said, I'll do it. I'm like, okay, I got your name down.
You keep my hand down next time.
Well, there's been some people
Army
say, well, why don't
that.
You charge a gate? You know,
mm-hmm.
why don't you charge an admission fee?
Mm-hmm.
When you do it, change the entire, you know, the complexion of the event.
Mm-hmm.
It then becomes, you know, a commercial event,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's attitude about, or everybody's image about helping and volunteering and making it go on, everything changes
mm-hmm.
when you do something like that. So, you know, our goal from the beginning, when John Kenny and I first started doing this years ago, was to always keep it as just a community event, you know, a free public event. That was going to be our little give back when we started in the museum concept.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, personally, you know, when these people come to me and start saying, you're always charging an event, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, and I said, well, it just gets away from, you know, what we originally started it under and what we originally planned. And I said, when I'm no longer involved with it, you know, or I'm run off, you know, I get a little up on a soapbox sometimes. And get involved, you take it over, and you can have much of those kind of changes.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, Jim, you have the floor for the next couple items.
Wildlife management, there's not a whole lot going on. Right now, we're kind of looking at the deer population out there. There's probably about a dozen that are still within the fence, and we're putting together a little deer roundup for next week and see if we can get them out the gate, and then after that we'll see how many stayed, and, you know, if we need to do a harvest or something, we'll do that. But it's about the same dozen that I'm seeing all the time in the same places, so I think that'll be successful next week. All right, airport update. Deep breath here. It's in the industrial park, the Nanticoke Avenue, the shoulder grading project. I'm not sure exactly where we are with that. I don't think it's been done yet or started. They were going to do that at the end of October, and never happened. But I think it's going to end up being a springtime project. But I haven't talked to the engineer on that yet. Also, the industrial park Comcast is just about done. running their lines and hooking up to their customers out there. I think they've got about 10 or 12 people that now have high-speed internet. They're real happy. On this side, we're calling Taxiway A South, which goes from the main ramp out to Runway 4. That project, they're working on the plans and specs right now. That'll be under construction April, May of next year. We talked about this last time. The only big problem is going to block the tie-down ramp, or the new tie-downs out there. We'll still have access to all the hangars and the backside of that. It's a 30-day project. You know, we're aiming to have it done well before Memorial Day, so that doesn't interfere with that. That's still on schedule. The runway extension, what we call Package 2, is pretty much done. There's some MALS issues that we're working on right now. I got a letter from the FAA last week that said they've approved us constructing it. We can go ahead anytime and put them in. So thanks a lot. The letter also said it's got to be inspected. We have to have a letter of agreement, a bunch of other stuff. Our technicians have to be tested. And then I got an email yesterday saying you have to note them the amount of service. So after we did that, they sent me another email and said, never mind. So they've gone from all that to they sent us the letter in error, and so it's still haven't gotten the definitive answer on, you know, we can ignore them completely, but for now we're ignoring them completely. Another project that we're working on is replacing the runway end identifier lights, the reels on 422. We're going to convert those to LEDs. On the 4 end, they'll go in the same place that they are, and on the 22 end, we have to move them a little bit because the reels are actually in the position for runways with VASIs and not PAPIs, so we'll have to move those. I think it's 40 feet, which is not a big deal. Supposedly, these are very bright lights, so we may have some intensity issues that we'll have to deal with, but we'll see what people say once they're installed. As far as instrument approaches, we did have the three new approaches that were published in September, and the fourth one, they had a September date on it, but all it was a new airfield diagram. So that was the VOR to runway 4. Right now they're saying that March 3rd will be the publication date for a new VOR approach to 4. I haven't seen any drafts of that to know what the changes are or anything on that. There's also a new Runway 22 GPS approach coming out in December. The big change on that will be to increase the minimum visibility to a mile. So, enjoy the three quarters while you can, and that'll be going up. There are some issues we're working on with the approaches. The big one, getting the LPV minimums back to Runway 4. Like I said, that had to do with a vertically guided survey being accepted. We've been waiting 2 months for them to accept the imagery portion of that, which we just got that conditional approval yesterday, so that's moving ahead. When that's all going to convert, you'll see an LPV minimum. I don't know, but it's moving along. We still have the nighttime limitations for circling to 1028, but that's based on having an obstruction survey for that runway, which costs a lot of money, and we're looking at that, but that's going to be quite a while before you see that restriction being lifted. Also looking at, they took away the descent angle on the GPS to runway 4. That's being worked. They got flight checked again, that the restriction got removed. When that actually translates into something you see on paper, I don't know. And then we're also working with the FAA to get our eighth of a mile credit for having the approach lighting system. So when that'll happen, I don't know, but that's something that'll come up. Still working on two new electrical vaults, one that'll go over by Pat's. We've been working with them and the FAA, and then one that goes inside the fence, but pretty close to Mrs. Tyndall's house. The reason for those is to decrease the run of wire on the ground, which makes things a little more efficient and reliable. Also working on still working on our marketing plan with L.R. Kimball. There's four tasks to it. They're just about complete with task one, which is identifying our markets and potential markets. But they've also started working on some of the branding issues and logos and that type of thing, but we haven't seen any of that. If you've been into the airport terminal in the last few days, you'll notice there's some changes going on there, thanks to Todd. We're doing some sprucing up of the terminal. I don't know if you want to say something about that. But
we're going to give the terminal a facelift, so to speak. New paint, cleaning, with Garrett's help, we'll have some input on signage. So we have a standard sign for the whole terminal inside now. New electronic interface for pilots and public that come in that will kind of picture a big flat screen with stuff you would see in an airport, like weather. We want to get an interface with one of the radar.
Flight information. We're trying to pull some things out of FlightAware for arrivals and departures, tourism information, advertising.
We're going to spruce it up with some pictures that local photographers have donated to us that have Sussex County scenery with, I don't know, some kind of artsy frame that's, you know, I'm not a decorator, so I don't know what all that means, but it's going to look nice, and it's going to be a much more welcoming presence for visitors, restaurant folks, pilots coming in. You know, it's all part of the big plan of raising the level of our image out here. So that, I think the painters are coming at some point.
Yeah, they've been filling nail holes and spackling and doing a good job. I didn't realize we had that much to spackle over there, but they've been going to town on it, fixing the around the beams, and it looks pretty nice.
Do you ever get the leak fixed up around the dome? Or just the leak?
Well, we had a leak prepared by Richard a couple, 3 or 4 years ago. It's never leaked since.
Don't leak up. I just remember from a while back that it was sort of a chronic problem when the building was first built.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. And Richard took care of that.
Good.
We do have a broken window up in the top there that we're looking at.
I don't do windows.
Garrett says, you stand in one place and you tilt your head. Well, don't stand there. Otherwise, you can't see it. I think Garrett talked about this when we had our little meeting, but kind of taking the government building feel out of the terminal, moving some of the government plaques or the county seal, I think, is going to go away because we're going to put the electronic display there. So it's going to be a mess for a while, but I think it'll look real nice when it's done. Last project that I want to talk about, and we need some input from the committee on, is our apron expansion project. Talked about this last time. From Taxiway B, the Midfield Taxiway, where the grass tie downs are now, kind of down towards the state police. I said we're gonna pave that about as far as we can afford under this project, and that'll be a new parking apron. This is not intended to be another tie down ramp. We're designing this for the aircraft that use the airport now. Which what we call Group 2 aircraft up to 79-foot wingspan, so that the corporate jets that are coming here, as well as the smaller airplanes. We also see an opportunity to have a 737-sized space available on the end there in that Block 2, if you can see it. And just so you know what you're looking at, the three aircraft that are there, in number two, that's a 737-900. In number five, that's a G Gulfstream 550, and then a Falcon 900 next to it. So there's a lot of space there. Right now, we're in the design process. We have an FAA grant for $255,600, which is 90% of the total cost to do the design. We expect to have some sort of a construction grant next year. It wouldn't give us money to design the project without anticipating that they're going to give us money to build some of it. The problem is we've been told not to expect any discretionary funding for the project, which means all we'll really get is our what's called non-primary entitlement money, which is, you know, small amount of money that we're entitled to as a non-primary airport. That along with, we'll probably get all of the state's apportionment money. Each state gets apportioned a part of the airport improvement program funds. We'll probably get all of Delaware's money for that. The bad news is no discretionary money. So what that means is we're not going to be able to build all seven of these blocks in one project. And we've gone through several iterations. You can see this is Exhibit 11A. You know, there's been 1 through 10, and there's an 11B also. So, we've looked at a lot of different configurations and how to do this. This is the configuration that we like, and we're going to have them move forward with. Each one of those blocks, though, represents 1 year's worth of construction. So the way it's laid out now, we're looking at a 7-year project, which is not acceptable to us. And, our plan right now is to, if we're stuck with that amount of funding, probably only build phases 1 through 4.
What's driving the 1 year per block? Is it funding?
Funding. Yeah. So our plan is to try to get to phase 4, and we think we have a plan to be able to do phase 1 and 2 the first year in order to do that, and then phase 3 and 4 in the next 2 years. So we're looking at about 3 years worth of construction. Stormwater management is going to be a big issue with this project. We're still looking at issues with what, you know, stormwater management is going to take up all our money to construct. And, I think what we're looking from the committee for is how important is the project to you? What kind of phasing do you think we ought to be doing? That type of thing. And I know Mike had some questions too on.
Can I just make certain I know where we're talking? This is a grassy area across from Delta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And taxiways are constructed to be able to support the weight of a 737?
Not continuously. You know, we occasionally, and it's showing a 737, but actually we're talking about it as an aircraft with wingspans bigger than 79 feet. And we're using the 737 just because we do have 737s here. And occasionally we get calls for, you know, like a DC, a place to park a DC-9 or, you know, a larger aircraft. But we kind of see that as an opportunity to have. If we had a space available that size, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there's some opportunities there.
Well, I know the runway is constructed to take it, and of course the turnoff to go over there, the path certainly can take it. I just didn't know if the other taxiways on this side of the field had been constructed to that standard. I know there's airports I go to that I have to, you know, can't even take the weight of my airplane. I've had to choose alternates or alternate taxiways or ramp over just because of that weight.
You know, my main concern is, you know, for us to commit to a 7 years of construction, that means that's 7 years of not doing anything else. So,
right.
You know, I felt like if we could look at phases 1 through 4, if we could do that in a 2 or 3 year period, that mm-hmm. seemed like a more practical project.
Now, would the permits like your ENS permits and all that stuff still stay valid for extended period? Because usually they have a lifetime, you know, which, you know, I mean.
We would size the stormwater for all seven phases.
Right.
That is correct.
How would this affect taking runway 5,000 feet?
Well, we're already at 55. You mean to go to the other 500
yeah.
feet?
Yeah, that's what I meant. You have to.
Well, the FAA is not going to pay for that.
I mean,
so
not 5,000, 6,000, yeah.
The
yeah.
FAA is not going to pay for the extra 500 the way
no.
things are now.
Until they show the traffic.
Yeah, traffic picks up. And again, we don't want to get bogged down in this project and allow them to use that as an excuse for. And it's not only the other 500 feet, there's parallel taxiways and things like that should be constructed. So,
well, one of the issues with the FAA is the FAA authorization ends this year. So we're back to where we were a couple of years ago with, you know, they don't know until September how much money they can give out. You know, they keep doing these short-term continuing resolutions, and you know they piecemeal all the projects, and they're just not able to commit anything to us right now as far as discretionary money.
I understand we're in a standstill until we get that route in anyway. So we put another 500 feet and we can't go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you talk your state in, put the route in, then you can talk about the runway.
I think if you got to number four, then at least you have a basis for
yeah.
stuff to come.
That sure won't bother the runway.
Yeah.
The route. That doesn't give us a funding.
5, 6, and 7 would develop after there was a need.
Correct.
Know, which would be an apparent, which would be great.
Gary, do you see, you know, what do you see as far as the demand for, you know, the extra parking, extra runway, extra stuff from the inquiries you get from corporate type operators?
Well, there's definitely peak periods where we could put aircraft over in this new area.
Had some guys that were going to fly over here last week in a DC-3, and they were concerned whether or not they could have room to even park a DC-3. To come on, yeah, absolutely. So,
the room we built, I guess, is full all the time, or full most of the time.
That's for smaller aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's any of the packs, huh?
So we had a Dash 8 that was supposed to come here today. You know, that's a Group 3 aircraft. I forget what their wingspan is, but it's more than 79 feet. So, you know, to park them on the ramp that we have now, we don't have all the wingtip clearances and safety areas around the aircraft for aircraft to taxi past front or back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this new apron would be designed to have all of those clearances for the larger aircraft.
Aren't the ground guys operating the Dash 8 now? They got one of the old U.S. Air Dash 8s out of Salt. By the way, I need to get in touch with those guys too, if you could give me a phone number for Jimmy or one of them.
I agree with Mike. It'd be a shame to tie up funding for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
3 years.
What are you looking for from the committee? Would you like?
Well, I don't know that we were looking for anything, but before we kind of
right.
pursued this, we just wanted to make sure that it wasn't a surprise to anybody.
Right.
And
cool.
Just build consensus, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think the 1-4 is the most logical. And doesn't tie up too much funding.
Does that fit in with the business plan? I mean, what is the emphasis of the airport? What's the big range? What's the big plan that we want to do with the airport? And how does it fit into it?
I think our plan and, you know, the focus of the marketing plan, at least, is to attract aircraft of this size, you know, and to not have enough parking space for aircraft doesn't make sense. So.
Has anyone talked to FEMA about, you know, emergency planning for major natural disasters, hurricanes, et cetera, because, you know, you think back, you know, Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Camille, Hurricane, look what hit New Orleans, look what happened, you know, Sandy up on the East Coast. You know, the immediate next thing after the event is having aviation infrastructure to be able to launch recovery, rescue, et cetera. Well, we certainly need ramp space to be able to run all of that. And I'm just wondering, has there been any discussions with FEMA, you know, in any of those kind of plannings? Because I know after Sandy, that opened up a lot of people's minds. There's people already working on, some other types of plants that's going to have to relate to that. You know, there was operators up in the New York area charging, what was it, $500 a gallon for jet fuel, some absurd amount that they were charging, you know, the FEMA helicopter trying to do some of the military helicopters trying to rescue. You get a few helicopters operating, you tie it up a ramp really quickly, you start running helicopter operations. Have y'all, I'm just curious, has anybody been in the discussions with, or have you been approached by anybody of some of these, you know, some of these new thoughts after, for planning East Coast hurricane recovery?
Well, we've had our exercises that we've done here at the Emergency Operations Center, and they've been included in that process. I'm trying to recall the exact discussions we've had about airport use. I know, Jeff, you've been part of that process as well. I kind of remember more of an emphasis about discussions of C-130s coming in.
I mean, the avenue of FEMA, that's a dynamic always changing, so I don't know. But that would be a Joe Thomas avenue to try to see if there's any kind of FEMA funds available. But usually FEMA is more of, okay, we'll pay for things to go back to
right.
match the existing, not so much for the advancement. Some preparations, yes, like stockpile food, water, things like that, but they won't get into infrastructure.
I think they were more looking at what infrastructure we had here and how they would best use it. Versus them funding any particular type of improvements.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say in funding, but just in overall planning and discussions
mm-hmm.
and the interactions and the interconnectivity between the needs for some of these things. You start operating several Blackhawk helicopters, for instance, we're out of space. Of course, they can operate out of grass, park on the grass, and et cetera, but
FEMA's
C-130s can't.
FEMA can be a difficult agency because there's so many demands on them. All the way up and down the East Coast, all along the South border, and all over to California and everywhere. I mean, it's just, they've got an enormous amount of people wanting to draw on them, and they're pretty resistant.
But we've done, like, draft exercises, you know, based upon a particular storm event, a Sandy-like storm event, and how the response would be set up. I don't recall the exact details of how they were bringing in aircraft, but
it was pretty extensive.
Right before C-130s, can you fill up with
well, right before Sandy, we got calls from the National Guard, and we had discussions. I think for sure you were part of that, and we had plans in effect. And because Sandy really didn't impact us, we all moved up to the north. We never put them in, we never had any helicopters show up, but we had Black Hawks on standby. And we had all kind of coordination going on with.
And we have Taxiway C that's available over by PATS.
But you had to remember, aircraft that is based here, that put away in a hangar or flew out of here, the ramp was completely devoid of aircraft. We had, a much different sight picture than what you normally see when out there tonight. There were just, you know, lots and lots. All the based aircraft were gone, so you had all that space over there between the hangars to work with. You had the main ramp out front. We didn't even have the new parking area yet, so I wasn't even slightly concerned about where I was going to put a bunch of helicopters. That wasn't a factor. A couple 130s would take up some ramp space, but like you said, helicopters, Blackhawks park in the grass all the time.
But one of the things to Delaware is this is really the only major airport that's south of the canal. And if we lose the canal bridges, the only thing we have in Delaware that's under the control of the governor is he could ask Dover Air Base to let us on and use something there, but they're going to be real restrictive. And to go out of state in Salisbury is out of state, and then you get in all the worker comps and all those issues that you get into. So this airport is the only one. Yeah,
this is it. You know, we talk about any type of aviation-related emergency responses in this region, it's going to be based right here.
Right. And we,
which means fuel infrastructure, rent, all these kind of things.
What little time I spent up there, about 5 years there, every time a storm coming, go south, go somewhere, don't park here. So I don't know why I say it didn't here. Why are we worried about somebody coming here during storm time? I don't think they're going to come here. I think
it'll be after.
We're talking about after the storm. We're talking about
The recovery phase. Yeah.
Well, that might be major storm coming up today. And
I think we got enough airport probably for a while to handle that. That's probably a little different in your opinion, but that's my opinion.
Well, and I'm not sure, Jim. Maybe you know. What's the pushbacks come on from FEMA? What kind of aircraft are they made for? Are they,
I don't know.
Yeah, because I know they have certain pushbacks that are all prepackaged, ready to roll, be pushed on an aircraft, and of course the aircraft. As Larry's point is, the aircraft can't land here; it doesn't do us any good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether it's a 130, if it's a C5 or 737, but those pushbacks are in a hangar sitting there, just waiting for different situations. So that'd be a good Joe Thomas conversation.
Yeah, we'll either bring Joe in or
just a thought to
bring his plans that we've had these discussions. I don't remember the level of detail. So, but we'll put something together, either present at the next meeting or have Joe come in and speak to it.
It's a good thing to talk about, but I don't think it affects this project at all.
I didn't mean to start a long discussion on this. It was just a thought to, you know, to remember some of the after major storms events and some of the infrastructure issues.
It's nice to look at anybody that has any pockets and has any monies available.
Anything else, Jim?
No, that was it. Unless you got any questions.
I had one, Jim, was the Comcast, is it on this side?
No.
You mentioned the other side, where the industrial.
Well, there, I think there is Comcast on the.
They're running something down there.
Not sure.
There's a Comcast hub or something that's close by, but the project I was talking about was just in the industrial park.
Right, because they keep sending mailers. And the last two or three times I called, it's like, oh, it's not available. Why are you sending me mailers?
There's going to be infrastructure on this side of the airport pretty soon.
Good.
Whether it's fiber or Comcast or FiberTech, which is a fiber provider that's running stuff around town right now. The county's in discussions that are very mature at this point of bringing a fiber loop through this whole side of the airport.
Because it would certainly affect this building, too.
Yeah, everything here. Everything on this side. Every facility on this side. And then eventually on that side, if we need to. Comcast saw it coming, so they jumped ahead of us because they wanted to
capture the market.
Share.
Yeah.
We've been begging them since I was been administrator for 4 years, and these guys before that, and all of a sudden things start to happen, and they jumped up. So
imagine that. The American way, competition.
More power to them.
I just wanted to comment about the runway lighting. I can remember just a few years ago coming in here on a hazy night and having trouble finding this airport.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's not the case now.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is nice, yeah.
Mm.
What about the approach lights?
Or hazy
approach
or
lights,
or, yeah.
And you had some questions.
The runway identifier lights are extremely bright now. And that was my concern when you mentioned they're going to be brighter. The only thing that comes
midfield.
The only thing that comes to my mind is I've seen like at JGG, you can actually click three times and turn the runway identifier lights off. After you've clicked the runway lights on, and you have the runway identifiers, and then you click three additional times and they go away. So it's to take away that blinding light.
There may be a possibility when we go to this variety of transformers powering things that we may be able to do that.
Because it's blinding. You come in, you're really blinded by the lights, and all of a sudden you get past that light, and now it's like, okay, your eyes have got to adjust and rotate.
Well, that, yeah, that is a problem because you're, it's affecting your night vision at a critical time of flight. I'll take that over.
Yeah.
I'll take it over not being able to find the airport.
It's a dark hole when there's no lights.
Yeah.
It's a bright hole when the runway identifier lights are flashing.
I carry a pair of sunglasses off down a console. And
close one eye, Larry.
Last time we came in, I just grabbed those, put them on. And
close one eye, loot, use it after you get past them.
All right, any public comments?
I've only got one eye, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
If I may, Gus.
You
I,
sure?
And I should have done this at the beginning of the meeting, I apologize. I wanted to introduce to members of the committee who have not met and members of the public that have not met our new Sussex County Economic Development Director, Melody Booker Wilkins. She started just a little less than a month ago.
That's correct.
And I warned her about this committee and how important these meetings were critical for her attendance, so we have a quorum. But Melody's hit the ground running, so we're very happy to have her.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Todd. And it's a pleasure being here this evening. And I just wanted to state that I'm very passionate about Sussex County and certainly very passionate about this airport. I am not an engineer. I am not a pilot. I'm not a technical person, but I'll tell you what I am. I'm a business person. I'm a marketer. I've had two very strategic meetings with Jim Hicken already. Todd, Jim, and I are meeting on Monday to discuss this phase one from this marketing and branding review. Very excited about that. We're going to touch on our master plan. And also, thank you, Susan. Susan's working with Jim and I to proactively meet with all the tenants here at the airport. Pat's is already scheduled. It's a real feel-good. So, I've hit the ground running. Thank you, Todd. And just a word on the wings and wheels. The fact that community effort and bringing more people into this airport for the awareness, how critically important that is, and thank you all for that. That's it, and thank you very much.
Anyone else? Well, we need to set next meeting date.
Meeting date.
Let's set our next meeting date then.
January 28th.
January 28th.
Right. Unless you want to do something different.
When? Good.
It's my annual reminder that everybody's term expires at the end of the year, and we need to reappoint people. So if you've had enough fun and don't want to serve again next year, let me know. You don't have to tell me tonight, but otherwise we'll proceed. But because that
there's a waiting
it's a formal
list.
Thing.
So no notification.
There's a waiting list.
You can bribe Jim if you want to stay on.
So just let me know if you think you want to come off, and we'll take it from there.
3900. All right, I don't have anything else.
January 28th.
January 28th will be the next meeting.
January
28th. All right. We had a motion to adjourn from Sam. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So be it. We are adjourned.